Would you turn again to Psalm 31, the 31st Psalm, and in verse 15. Psalm 31 and verse 15. My times are in thy hand. My times are in thy hand. It hardly seems a year since I stood last in this pulpit. How quickly the time goes. And yet, certainly, a great change has taken place in the sad loss that has been suffered here. And in approaching this service this morning, one could not help but reflect upon this thought that with these changes that must inevitably come, with all the changing scenes of life and history around us, we need to see these things in the light of God's word, God's will, God's gracious purposes. And so, as he may help us this morning, let us consider this very familiar text, made surely very precious to many of us by the lovely hymn, Sovereign Ruler of the Skies, ever gracious, ever wise. All, not some, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. My times are in thy hand. The my, that is ours, the times. My times are in thy hand. The hand is thine. The hand is the hand of God. For a few moments we will contemplate the hand and then consider the times. My times are in thy hand. The hand is the hand of God, the eternal God, the sovereign God, the only wise God, the God who is the very essence of love, mercy, grace, compassion. Human language fails in expressing the infinite nature of being of God. What a hand it is. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what an amazing universe we live in. It speaks. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And all these things are the handiwork of God. I think it is a profitable exercise to consider these things. We look at ourselves, and rightly we see ourselves as a little handful of dust. What worthless worms are we? And yet this God, there is no part of this universe where he is not. There is no part of this universe which is outside of the scope of his power or his control. Peter calls it the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. He spake these worlds into being. He upholds these things by the word of his power. It is a hand of great strength, a hand of great skill. Yes, we may marvel at the skill of the human hand. A man is the image of God, and our God has a hand which is far more wonderful And so we see him as the creator. We see him as the sustainer. We see him as the great upholder. A controlled universe. The arguments of the evolutionist are utter folly. Utter folly. How can these things be? How can they be upheld, controlled, the amazing relationship between one part of the world or the universe and another? It's all a demonstration of the mighty, omnipotent hand of God. How great then he is. He's the controller divine. And in the affairs of men and nations too. None can stay thy hand or say unto thee, what doest thou? I'm so glad I've got a God like that. A God that is not sovereign is not God. But no, his hand is a sovereign hand. He holds all nature in his hand. And that is fundamental truth. That is reality. Not just poetical language, not just a figure of speech, but this God's hand is on everything that is happening at this very moment, whether in our nation, throughout the world, in any part of this universe. His hand is upon it all. It's a very liberal hand. And a very open hand, isn't it? It's a hand that's always giving. A hand that is ever extended in blessing. Even on a fallen race such as ours. His benefits, they don't fail. He sends his rain on the just and the unjust. He opens his hand and supplies the need of every living thing. People are concerned in these days about the abuse and misuse of the environment and all these sort of things, the questions that are being asked, and we can't be dismissive of it all. But even in that aspect of man's folly and exploitation, I believe our God is quite well able to deal with these things. When people talk to me about greenhouse effects and things like this, I don't want to be complacent, but you know, it says, while the earth remaineth. While the earth remaineth, summer and winter, cold and heat, seed time, harvest, that these things will not fail. Man may commit all sorts of folly, may do all sorts of terrible things, may seek to lift himself up only to fall low, but our God is faithful. Let us be content, not in a fatalistic way, but to leave these things in his hand. But I'll come back to it in a moment. It's a hand that gives, it's a hand that protects, it's a hand that keeps, it's a hand that upholds, and he will not forsake the work of his own hands. He will not forsake the work of his own hands. He doesn't put his hand to something and then lose interest, then lose patience, then lose the ability to complete that which he begins. Now, I've just tried to put it in a simple way, but I've just reminded you then of the hand. The hand of God. But you see, when I want to consider the things of God and the nature of God and the being of God, I must inevitably be led to one unique, blessed, glorious person. The Word was made flesh. Our opening hymn spoke of Emmanuel, God with us. And if there is a sincere desire to know something of the hand of God. And if the Holy Spirit is pleased to be our teacher, then we shall see in every way God in Christ, for in him dwelleth all, not some, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bodily. God was manifest in the flesh. So consider for a moment the hand of Jesus Christ, because he had hands just like yours, just like mine. A real man in every way. And his human body was a full expression of God. The express image of his person. He went about doing good. What a hand it was. A hand that touched a leper and said, I will. Be thou clean. The hand that took the hand of that dead maid and said, Yo maid, I say unto thee, arise. What a hand. This was the hand that washed the disciples' feet. What condescension. What grace. A wonderful hand indeed. Yet still the hand of the Creator. For without him was not anything made that was made. There's a little children's hymn we used to sing about Jesus who lived above the sky, came down to be a man and die. What a cruel death he died. He was hung up and crucified. And those kind hands which did such good, they nailed him to a cross of wood. My friend, the hand that created the universe was nailed to the cross of Calvary to suffer the just for the unjust, to be made sin for us who knew no sin. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Yet death could not hold him. Behold my hands and my feet. This same Jesus, he with us suffered, bled, died to redeem, to justify, to reconcile sinners unto God, is now entered into heaven itself. We sing, don't we? A man there is, a real man. He's in heaven. He's at the Father's right hand. He's the Lamb in the midst of the throne. The hymn writer, speaking of his intercession, says, and spreads his wounded hands. They are perpetually a plea for sinners, such as you and I. And what a mercy that we have such a mediator. But more than that, we read in the book of Revelation, of one who alone was worthy to open the seals of God's eternal purposes, the seals of history, that seal which only, those seals which only he could open, the worthy Lamb, the hand that was nailed to the cross of Calvary, is the hand that with power and authority governs the world, history, the universe. My times are in thy hand. the hand of an eternal, sovereign, omnipotent God, yet the hand of one who with such mercy, love, compassion, and grace came down from heaven to be the sin bearer, and is now honored, exalted. His name is the name above every name. And that hand is the hand that even now is laid upon his dear children. None can pluck them out of my hand. What a place to be. What security. What safety. What comfort. To know that there is such a hand. And perhaps my sweet, precious, God-given experience to know something in a spiritual way of its touch, its strength, its encouragement, its leading. Such is the hand of our God. But now, let us pause for a moment and consider the times. The times are ours. Looking at this psalm, we recognize, we're not quite sure what period in David's life it was penned, we recognize that under the inspiration of the Spirit, yet under the pressure of the circumstances around him, David was led to pen such a psalm as this, where he was suffering trouble and grief, where he was a reproach to his enemies, where he was forgotten and forsaken. Oh, what a pitiable condition David appears to be in, when in this time of very evident and obvious and deep distress, he is led to declare, with a remarkable glimpse of faith, "My times are in thy hand. My times are in thy hand." There are two hands mentioned in the psalm. In verse 8, the hand of the enemy. Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy, and over and against this, the hand of his God. Thou art my God, my times are in my hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. I must make a very frank and honest confession at this point. Such seems to be the darkness around us at this present time, that one almost wonders where that hand is when we look at the condition of our land and the churches and the things which are influencing the life of our nation at this present time. You can read history and so can I. And it is very evident that this hand has intervened on numerous occasions in the affairs of this nation, and that with spiritual blessing. But now we live in dark times, perilous times, and troublous times. And the scoffers seem to carry all before them, don't they? And the so-called media are brainwashing the nation. What is the answer? I think it lies in our text. My times are in thy hand. The timing in respect to the whole universe is controlled, isn't it? Day and night, summer and winter. You know what time the tide will come in at this and that point. They know what time the sun will rise. They know when a certain star or planet or whatever will be visible or whatever is happening in the universe. Why? Because God's timing is perfect in that sense. And time is something which he has given, which he controls. In Genesis 1, chapter 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Every morning when I get up, it's just one of the little things I suppose that we all have in one way or another. I always feel I am thankful to see that the sun has risen again, and that this faithful God still is ordering the universe. And so we can praise him in that sense. But then the times in which we live, as I've already hinted, are solemn times, dark times, perilous times. Some would say they are clearly the last times. Be very careful what I do say about that. Again, we can read back over the centuries and see that things have developed in such a way that many godly men have felt that they were living in the last times. You see, our times and the time of the whole world and universe is in his hand. No man knoweth the day nor the hour, not even the Son, only the Father. Concerning that great event which must inevitably come, his ultimate second coming, I do not believe it is a matter for speculation, but preparation. Speculation, the people that are always trying to work things out and comparing this, that and the other, and I knew a dear man of God once who was a deacon of a certain cause. I won't mention name or place, but one went to him and said, have you got the minister's list ready for the coming year? And this man said, no, I've not bothered to get any ministers because I feel the Lord will be coming again by Christmas. You see, people can get carried away with this. He was a good man, a godly man, but he had thought he'd worked it all out. But you know, preparation, that is our main concern, isn't it? In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Blessed is that servant who, when his Lord cometh, shall find him so doing. What manner of persons ought we to be? But I must move on. This time in which we live, what's happening in Russia, what's happening in Yugoslavia, what's happening in Northern Ireland, what's happening in our own land, and oh, how much darkness there seems to be. Let us remember that it's in his hand. Nebuchadnezzar was in his hand. Cyrus was in his hand. Egypt was in his hand. All these things, you know, for this cause, they were raised up that God might show his power and his glory. So let us not forget this. In the changing scenes of human history, whatever events may occur in our nation or universally, my times, our times, are in his hand. But then, times personally, because it is my times are in thy hand. We may look back over our lives and consider things that have happened, things that have taken place, things that have affected us providentially in our families, and we recognize times of joy, times of sorrow, times of change, times of unrest and anxiety, yet times of tranquility and of peace. It's good to look back sometimes, you know, and to see the way in which things have fallen together. The amazing interventions. I would not speak personally from the pulpit of various experiences, but looking back over the way I have come, and I'm sure you can do the same, you can see that overall there has been a God, and your times have been in His hand. His gracious overruling, and with it, often perfect timing. You know, that is what amazes me as I look back. Not only the changing scenes of life, but the timely intervention. The timely intervention of a God that knows just when to step in. A God that knows just how to order events. And so, in the providential sense, we are so grateful if we can look back and see it. And this is love in time past, forbids us to think He'll leave us at last in trouble to sing. Each Ebenezer we have in review confirms His good pleasure to see us right through. My time in Thy hand. But then, one thinks the more vital and more important matters. I refer, of course, to the well-being of our never-dying soul. The psalmist says earlier in this psalm, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." David was a great sinner. David had cast his burden upon the Lord. So it is with every regenerate soul. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. It's not something you can switch on and off, you know. It's not something that depends upon your decision, how well meant it may be. My times are in thy hand. When David spoke of his soul's experience, he said, "He lifted me up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto God." And what a time that may be. It may be a time of deep conviction and a godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of. It may be a time of longing and waiting and looking for God. And yet, there must surely come a time when He reveals Himself, when He draws the sinner into a relationship with Himself through grace and through faith. My times are in thy hand. What a mercy to rest for time and eternity upon this hand that draws the sinner, that reveals the wonder of His redeeming grace through His pierced hands and feet, and will not let you go. You know, gospel comfort is real. Gospel experience is real. My times in thy hand. Have you ever had a good hearing time? Have you ever had a time when you feel He's visited your soul? Have you ever had a time, and oh, how you probably longed for it to last longer than it did, when there's been a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord? My times are in thy hand. You know, if there's one thing the child of God longs for, it's for those times when he may be drawn away from the world, may be enabled to rise above the things of time, and to have an experience of the love of Christ shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Spirit. Now, those are times that we remember too, isn't it? Times that we're thankful for. Times that encourage us. Sweet to look back sometimes, isn't it? And that encourages us to go on. My time in thy hand. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was subject to this hand. You may say, well, haven't you already said that this is his hand, the mighty hand of God? Indeed it is. And yet, he himself, as he humbled himself, as he came down and took our nature, he became subject to his Father's will. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, and was found in fashion as a man. And here, you see, in this psalm, not only do we see the language of David, but we see the language of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I have already quoted verse 5. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. This was the language of the dying Saviour. This was the language of the one who offered himself without spot unto God. These were amongst his last agonized breathings. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. And you know, I believe it's been the language of many a dear saint as they have stood on the brink of Jordan, as they have stood on the borders of the land. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. My times of the Lord Jesus, they were in his hand. He cries out about being a reproach to his enemies. He cries out about being forgotten and as a dead man out of sight. You know, on one occasion he said his hour was not yet come. And then there was a time when he said the hour is come. And he went forth to Gethsemane and to Calvary and to the cross. And what a solemn time that was. And yet that great, unique event has affected the whole of the world and the universe because he swallowed up death in victory. Because by one offering he hath perfected forever all them that are sanctified, all at one time. Never needs to be repeated. Can't be undone. Will be eternally effectual. My times are in thy hand. From the time he breathed his first breath in the manger at Bethlehem to the time when he bid farewell to his disciples as he went up into heaven, my times are in thy hand. Now, coming back to personal experience and coming back to the relevance to each one of us. There is a rendering of this verse. I'm not prepared to say if it's right or wrong exactly, because I don't understand fully the Hebrew language, but I can read this and that commentary if I so desire. One very learned, well thought of man says this, that it might well be rendered, my times are thy hand. Not just in thy hand, but my times are thy hand. Think for a moment of the potter and the clay. Think of the one who takes a lump of shapeless, useless material in and of itself, puts it on a wheel, works out his plan, his purpose, with skill and in an objective way until he has produced a vessel meet for the master's use. My times are thy hand. In thy hand? Yes. But they are his hand. The events through which we pass, perhaps the sorrows of the way, the trial of faith, the loss, the times of despair and darkness as described so fully in this psalm, were the very hand of God working out his eternal purposes in the life of an individual. It is something that does make me feel amazed sometimes when I consider how great God is, that he should have a concern for an individual, for every individual. And that the psalmist could say, my times are thy hand. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, in that well-known and often misquoted verse, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All must come, at last, an end, as shall please our heavenly friend. You know, these things are real. These things are true. These things are of fundamental importance. They bring comfort to the soul. They strengthen the weak hands. They confirm the feeble knees. It says at the end of the psalm, O love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. What a God. What grace. What love. What mercy. Too wise to be mistaken. Too good to be unkind. My times are in thy hand. Thought of death may trouble us at times. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now we need to be ready for that time, for that change. Come it must, come it will, if the Lord tarry. But oh, to find a resting place in such a word as this. My times are in thy hand. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The work that his goodness began, the arm of his strength, it will complete. His promise is yea and amen, and never was forfeited yet. Oh, may we prove the reality of it. It's a blessed thought, isn't it? My times are in thy hand. Amen.